Basis for the message this evening is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is God's word. The voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. There's a prophecy that there doesn't need to be a lot of guesswork of what that prophecy is directed on, isn't it? You know, a lot of the prophecies in the Old Testament, many of them are very clear about what they were pointing to and what the people of Israel and us could expect. Others are made more clear by the revelation of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. But this prophecy here from Isaiah, it is very clear who he is speaking about. This voice of a person calling the desert and his message, what it would be, there's no doubt in people's minds that he's speaking about John the Baptist. In fact, that gospel that we read from Mark, right, it was quoted directly here from Isaiah saying that this was the man who fulfilled this prophecy. This person, John the Baptist, it's hard to really grasp just how hugely important he was in God's plan of salvation. In fact, he's so important that every year in the Christian church year, we dedicate one Sunday really just to John the Baptist and his message. And if you remember, this past Sunday it was dedicated to John the Baptist, and a lot of these same verses that we read from Mark and from Isaiah. Hard to just grasp how important he was that 700 years before Jesus or John the Baptist was born, that just this simple man had this prophecy spoken about him from the prophet Isaiah. God wanted to make it clear that people would notice when John the Baptist would come and would notice more than that, notice what his message was as he prepared the way for the Lord. You know, even though it's only really one Sunday each year in the Christian church year that we focus on John the Baptist, no doubt he is still very memorable in each of your minds. Because in our terms, he was kind of an eccentric guy. John the Baptist. The fact that he would go out into the wilderness to try and draw a crowd. Go where nobody else was, just on the banks of Jordan River, and sure enough, God led many people to go and hear his message, but that's not all that was eccentric about him. You probably know about the clothes he wore, right? Camel's hair, a leather belt, and that was it. The strange diet of eating grasshoppers and honey that he found around there. And just in a lot of ways, described as looking like this wild man who was fit to live out in the wilderness. Seems like everything about him was just a way that show how this man, it was his message that was so important, not the way he looked or how he acted. And just how all things, they are being controlled by God's hand in the way that God led people out there to hear the important message that he had. Of course, you know that the most important thing about John the Baptist wasn't what he looked like or where he was doing his ministry, but it was that message that he had as he prepared the people for the start of Jesus' public ministry. And way back in Isaiah, we see what John the Baptist was supposed to say. Prepare the way for the Lord. That's the message that he was declaring. And then it goes on here in Isaiah to describe how it is we can prepare the way for the Lord, or how John the Baptist said people could prepare the way, right? Make straight the wilderness. You know, wilderness is wilderness for a reason, right? That people aren't meant to travel there, that the way isn't straight, that it's difficult to travel. And it goes on saying that not just is it supposed to be straight in the wilderness, but a highway should be going through there. Every valley made not a valley anymore. Every valley should be raised up. Every mountain and hill made low. Every rough and rugged place made straight and made a plain. Really, what John the Baptist was saying here is he was calling everything, as he pointed to the landscape, I guess, around him, saying, let's make it the complete opposite of how it was. And of course, you know, he wasn't talking about making more habitable, more land that could be habitated or a better place to make a superhighway. Instead, he was talking about that something that was much more difficult to change. As hard as it is to look at the world and say, let's make everything the way that God made it, make it completely different, he was saying, this is even harder. God wants you to change your heart. And do it in the same way that it would be to make every valley level or every hill low, to change your heart just that drastically. And you see, in this way, John the Baptist, really what he was calling for, right, he was calling for change in the people's lives. In a lot of ways, that makes John the Baptist similar to a lot of people in our life too, right? There are lots of people we hear all over in the radio or in the news, people who are calling for change for one thing or another. And when it comes to change, you probably heard how most people say people in general are resistant to change. I don't know if that's entirely true though, is it? I mean, yes, there are a lot of things that I don't want to change. My routine, my people I care about, my family and my friends, anything that makes me feel completely comfortable, that I don't want changed. But I think you probably would agree with me that there are plenty of things in my life that I actually do want changed. Whether it's losing the last few pounds that I put on over the holidays, over Thanksgiving, or just some other sort of change in my life or change in my work that's maybe not going so well, change of habits in my life that I know are bad. I mean, I think you could think of plenty of things in your life that you want to change. And yet in the heart of a Christian, there's something that every one of us would say we want to change drastically, and it's just as difficult as John the Baptist makes it sound here in his words. That I want to change my heart. That when John the Baptist and Isaiah were pointing to what the hearts of the people would look like in Jesus' day, that he might as well have been looking at my heart too, right? With the rugged and rough places, that there are plenty of things that in my heart, I know only cause pain and grief and sadness when they come out in my life. And the heart of a Christian, your heart, like mine, sees those things, and we want to change them. Just like Isaiah, John the Baptist were calling. And you and I, you know, we're not alone in this desire to want to change our hearts. There are, I could give you countless titles of self-help books that are dedicated just to this very thing, of changing our hearts, changing the decisions that we make that lead to pain and grief and sadness. There are plenty of self-help groups dedicated to the same thing, to give encouragement, to make the kind of change in your life that you need. And there are plenty of people you can hear on the radio or in other pulpits that are going to give you good, sound, practical applications and advice of how you can make that change in your own heart. A lot of them start the same way. As they're laying out the advice of how you are to change in your life, the first thing you have to do is accept that you need to change, right? That's what they would all say. Examine your life, identify those things that are wrong, the things that you would want to be different. And then dedicate yourself to actually making the changes that you see are necessary. The first step, right, is admitting that there's a problem to find that change in your life. And then so many of them will go on to say, the best way to do it, to make that change and believe that you can actually do that change, enact that change in your life, is to lay out all these concrete steps for making that practical change. Because if you have a list, if you have steps, once you cross one off, you have this feeling of accomplishment, and then you can move on to the next step to try and make those real changes in your life. One of those concrete steps that most people will point to is something that they would call triggers. To avoid triggers in your life, we might call them temptations. That there are just certain places where we get tempted for one thing or another. Certain people that we might be around, certain situations. And so the best step in making that change in your own heart is just to avoid those triggers altogether, and that's the first way to start that change. And then they'll give the next piece of advice is that one thing you can do is you can change your bad habits into good habits. That when you see yourself going down that road, maybe it's because of a trigger or something like that, instead of doing what would normally come naturally to you, try to find some other sort of habit to make you get out of that one. For example, one bad habit I have is I bite my fingernails. It's a bad habit. Some of the books I've read would say, when you feel your fingers going toward your mouth, instead of biting your fingernails, instead stand up, do some jumping jacks. That'll get this different habit for you to form, get yourself in shape, and just find something else to do with your hands. There are more steps. They go on and on. They say the most important thing, right, is to take one day at a time. Be patient. Progress will be slow, but progress is progress. And as you make it forward each day will be better and better until finally your life is what you want it to be. And many preachers and books and groups will say that prayer is important too. Make sure your prayer is sincere, to turn to your God or to some sort of higher power to make the change in your life that you want. Those are the steps that most people will lay out to make the change in your heart, to make your heart the way that you want it to be, but no doubt you see the problem. Those self-help books, they keep getting written. Those self-help groups, they don't stop meeting. Because the truth is, we can't make those changes that we want to our hearts. Avoiding triggers, that doesn't work. Temptations, they never go away. Substituting one habit for another just leads you obligated to something else. And even prayer and all the benefits that it has for a Christian, if we start relying on seeing if our prayer is sincere enough, well then, it's hopeless. It leads to despair, counting on ourselves. You see, the change that Isaiah and John the Baptist was talking about, the change that every heart of a Christian really wants, it only comes through the words of Isaiah and John the Baptist. It comes through repentance. And repentance, it's a funny thing in the way that that word is used so often in our world. Repentance seems like something that we're doing, right? But it's not, and we can't. Because repentance isn't just feeling sorry for the sins that we've committed. Because everybody does that, Christians and non-Christians alike. They regret the mistakes they've made or poor decisions. But true repentance, that 180-degree change, making one thing its complete opposite, that's what real repentance is, and that's something that we just can't do. And yet, as these verses in Isaiah say, it is clearly something that God has done. Because true repentance, it comes from God. And it comes from the pardon of Christ. Because repentance consists of all these parts. It consists of sorrow or contrition. It consists of turning and changing from that sin. But another key and crucial part of repentance is knowing that your sins are pardoned. And that's what this message in Isaiah is. The message of John the Baptist was that there was going to be somebody much greater whose thongs of the sandals John was not going to be worthy to untie, who would untie your sin from you and pardon you from all of that wrong that we want changed in our lives. You see, God describes exactly what's going to happen in the heart of a Christian through the pardon of Christ. He says that every mountain and hill, it will be made low. Every valley shall be raised up. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. See, when God says something shall happen, it does. And He did it through His Son. The forgiveness that Jesus offers to us, that pardon that comes only through our Savior, through the Christ that was prophesied long ago in Isaiah, it's only through that that change happens. And it did. That God had taken us from this rough and rugged wilderness that we were walking in as we were lost and condemned and blind in our sin, walking only towards a path of destruction. And God had turned you through the miracle of the Holy Spirit, the miracle of conversion, made you His. Yes, as we walk in this world, and we could still call this world a wilderness like John was doing his ministry in, that sinful nature of ours will continue to wreak havoc and to poke its head up in our hearts. But through the pardon of Christ, the change has been made. The forgiveness of sins is yours. The pardon of Christ, it's already been declared. And see, that's the beauty of this Advent season. As we prepare to see our Savior born once again. The beauty of Christmas is that we see in that manger, in that little child who was born so many years ago, we see the pardon for all sins. We see the miracle that God would love a world that was so lost so much and come and live with it, be subjected to all the pain and the sadness that so many other people's decisions and sins would cause. And Jesus took it all upon himself so that you would be pardoned. And as we go now walking through this life, in every step of the way, we don't turn to ourselves to try and make some sort of changes in our hearts. Instead, we turn to our God and let Him work the repentance that we need and desire, that we leave our life, both now and eternity, fully in our Savior's hands. Because with our Savior comes that pardon that we also desperately need. And that is yours in Christ. Amen.